Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life. Hello and welcome to episode 195 of Lesbians Who Write. This week's topic is, what's the biggest change we've seen in self-publishing since we started 5 years ago, TB? So joining me, Claire Lydon, is my co-host, the ever-changeable, but always solid and dependable, TB Markinson. Hello, TB. How are you 5 years on from when we first started?
I know. I actually looked it up the other day, and our first episode went live March 2nd, 2019. Where have the years gone? Isn't that weird? Like, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it has been 5 years, so that's a chunk of time. But how have I been? I'm not gonna lie, I've been really, really busy. I know I'm always really busy, but there's a added complication, which I'll get into. So what have I been up to? Brandon and I are working on our next co-write, but we had to take a little break, and now I'm getting to that complication I just hinted at. Miranda had surgery. It was a planned surgery, but so she had surgery last week, so we're taking a little break from our co-write to give her time to recover. She's pretty sore, but for all those who are following along in the newsletters and on IHS, she's doing well, so I appreciate all the comments and all the get well messages, and I have been passing them along to Miranda. So we hope to get back to the writing soon on that co-write. On other writing news, I've been working on the next Lizzie installment, so I am keeping my writer side active. Writing is what I do, right? So remember when I said ACX was really fast about releasing a song in her heart? It took like 4 or 5 days to get it on the platform.
I do remember that, and I'm from the tone in your voice, I'm thinking that you're gonna refute that claim now, because I just no, she's shaking her head. Go on, tell
me. I'm not going to refute it, okay. But I will say, I think my shock by the speed of them getting it up confused me, and I didn't check the category they put it in. I always request the LGBTQ plus category
we always,
for romance.
We know that they just ignore that, though, don't we?
Yes, and so it took me about 8 days to realize they put me at rom-com. Which normally is fine. A lot of my books can be classified as rom-com. I like witty banter and everything like that. But this one isn't particularly rom-com-y. So I was like, well, that's a weird choice for this one. But it seems to be Amazon's thing, not just with the Audible side, but also the ebook paperback side, where they're just now, we tick boxes saying what categories we want, and they are not even taking them as suggestions. They're just like, no, you were wrong. This is Russian history. We are sticking with that, and we are going to put you in the wrong category, and we're going to kill your visibility.
Yes, I'm actually just put my new release London Ever After up live, and they're yet to give it any category or ranking. So I'm waiting for what they're going to do with that. So that's a nice game of roulette, isn't it? I did do this recently with the London Romance series, because I rebranded it all. I had to go and change all the covers and the blurbs on the ebooks, but also the audiobooks. And when I went into all the audiobooks, none of them were in the right category. It's just something I haven't really looked at. So they've been in the wrong category for years. So it's amazing they sold anything, isn't it? But I changed all the categories, but thinking, oh, they're not going to take very long to update. Reader, they are, but probably not that long. It's probably like a week ago. We're still waiting.
Wait, you changed them on the back end?
Mm-hmm.
I recommend emailing them.
Well, I had to go in and change all the covers and the blurbs anyway.
I still recommend emailing them, because I don't think ACX actually takes changes on the back end into account.
Okay.
At least I know I've tried changing like words in the blurb or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I emailed them to say, hey, can you do this? Because I don't know if their system, because like with KDP, before all the bots just decided to go insane, like it would take like 72 hours to update it, like if you changed your blurb or something like that. But ACX has always been a bit more of a nightmare when it comes to realizing something has changed and that they need to fix it.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, I'll give them a little bit more grace, and then hit them up. But well, anyway, but your category has now changed.
It is. In surprising news, because if listeners remember, I had a problem with my recent ebook release, Say Cheese. They put that into historical fiction, which it most definitely is not historical fiction. That one took me several days to work out, but ACX was very responsive in email. So they got it changed relatively quickly. I just wish I'd noticed sooner because it didn't go into the right new release chart. Why aren't they trusting the author to know what the category is? I don't get it. Like, we know what we've written and we know that what how we want to sell it, and we've figured things out on our end. So anywho's, the bots, man, they're just driving me insane. But in other news, I have some good news and some busy news. And on iHeart Sapphic, this morning, our book database just crossed over 6,000 Sapphic books in the database. So that has been a lot of work. Just a refresher, each and every one of those books has to be manually entered. So we've entered 6,000 of them. So that was quite an achievement this morning. It was a little early. I didn't do a shot to celebrate or anything since it was like probably about 5:55 this morning when I crossed that 6,000 mark. So I just said, good job, and kept going.
You were inputting that at 5:55 this morning.
I was approving them.
Oh, approving
We
them. Okay.
have Faith, our admin, enters the books, and then I go in and add the like universal link and stuff like that. It's
Right.
all a process. It's
Yes.
all a process.
Yes.
I do enter some of the books because there's 6,000 of them, and
Yeah. Sorry, I just added to your pile this week because I'm just about to launch. So you've got another one from me. I remember you told me that Miranda's dad was uploading all mine.
yes, Miranda's dad entered yours. Miranda's mom pitched in. We had help from was this was in the early days when we were trying to get like the first 1,000 books before we launched the new website. So yeah, we've had a lot of all hands on deck. It's been a family affair. So, but another iHeart Sapphic news. I'm working on a project right now. It's a mini reading challenge. We run a year-long challenge, but not everyone likes the commitment of a full year. So we're going to run two mini reading challenges as well this year, and I'm working on the first one, which is called Around the World in 80 Days. The goal is to read books set in different countries from where you live. I haven't been able to travel much lately because of, work and money. So, but I still like to travel through books. So, and I'm hoping other people want to travel with me through books. Sadly, we had to push the start date back on this one because I spent the first month of this year dreadfully sick, and then Miranda had surgery, so we're a little behind. But we'll get it up and running soon. But that's pretty much the story of my life this year. I'm just really, really behind. In other news, other good news, I don't want to get my hopes up too much, but I think the weather is starting to make a change. We have a few days forecasted in the 50s. I cannot, for the life of me, remember what that is in Celsius. I lived in London and Dublin for about 8 years of my life, and all I could ever figure out was when it hit 22, I could wear shorts. Other than that, I never really figured out how it translated.
Fi
Numbers.
50 is 10.
So not short, well,
No
definitely not shorts
shorts.
weather.
No
Yeah, not shorts
shorts.
weather. So, and also the days are getting longer. The sunset is well after 5 p.m. now. So it's always that, it's always that chance where you get your hopes up and then we'll get like 10 inches of snow. Because that's just how it works out. But right now, I'm hoping to be able to hit the hiking trails soon. I think they're still pretty muddy and probably icy in some spots because it's wooded areas, so it doesn't get a lot of direct sun. So I'm hoping to be able to hit the hiking trails in another few weeks. So that's what's going on here. A lot of work.
You
I
need
don't
to
know how else to sum it up.
add some fun into your work-life balance there. Like a seesaw. You need to put little some chocolate and cherries in the middle of it just so you can reach over.
Well, sadly, my checking account and my work schedule says no.
Okay. Well, do send Miranda my love. Hope she recovers well. I've got big news. Big news. TB, are you ready? Did you ever think this day would come? By the time this comes out, by the time you're listening to this, my dulcet tones in your ears, London Ever After, London Romance Book 9 will be out.
Does this call for a toot fucking toot?
I think so, go on.
Toot fucking toot.
Thank you. I'm going to give my own little da-da-da-da-da. Yes. So by the time this comes out, as I said, it will be done. It will be out. I'm just launching, trying to launch at the moment, but Amazon is taking its own sweet time to give me any categories or ranking, as we know it can.
Should we take bets now? What categories you're going to get?
But you know, it has only been, I think, not even 2 days yet. So you know, I'm not panicking just yet. We'll see. but you know, I will say that having written the acknowledgements for this one this week, it kind of became more clear, you know, why it's been taking me a little bit longer to do this, because I launched Big London Dreams, the book 8 in the London Romance series, 2.5 years ago, which is a long gap between books. However, in this series, I've kind of done that. It's had 8 books before this one, and I've released twice in a year, I've released 2 books in the series. So it's just, that's just how it's gone. But I was meant to write this book in 2022, which was obviously the worst year of my life, TM, for health and family bereavement. So that's what threw me off that year. And then I wrote it in 2023 and releasing it in 2024. So when you put it like that, I felt a little bit better about it, you know, because it feels like it's been a long time. And it has, but it's out. I'm happy with it. The reviews are coming in are good. So, you know, but I'll tell you what I remembered is I didn't remember much. Launching when you haven't done it for a year is hard. You know, like when you go on holiday and you can't remember what you do for a job, and that's only 2 weeks. Well, try not launching for a year. Lesson learned, I'm not going to leave it so long in future, because honestly, I was just like, it was like everything had been erased from my brain. I have launched books in other languages, but not in English. So, but it's done. Hopefully I've remembered most of the things. And you know, this was a little bit more complicated because I did a whole series rebrand as well. So the London Romance series rebrand is done as far as I can do it. And if there are bits that haven't been updated yet, well, that's life, you know. Don't sweat the small stuff. if 7 of the 8 books have got the new covers and one of them hasn't, that's just life. But if you order them on any of the platforms in ebook or paperback, they should have the new covers. The audiobooks, they're a law unto themselves. What can I do? Especially because Audible Studios own the first 4 London books. I own all the rest. So I've emailed Audible Studios and asked them to change the blurbs and the covers, but they haven't done that yet either. So yeah, who knows? But you know, it's I have to say, it's a nice feeling now, knowing now this series is complete. You know, I'm not expecting to shift a hell of a lot of copies of London Ever After, because it is book 9 in a series. It's never going to sell as much as a new standalone romance. However, it's great to have the series done, because then I can now, it's exciting to know I'll be able to market that series as a complete series. And I'm also going to do a physical box set as well, which is exciting. I just had a chat this morning with the people from Book Vault about doing that. So yeah, that's exciting to be able to offer that. So it's not going to be available when I launch London Ever After. It's going to come later in the year, but that will be an exciting project to do, yeah, later on. Also, my next book is underway. So this is a project I started last year, so I'm not starting from scratch, and I'm hoping that it won't be, you know, like, I'm definitely going to get out before a year's time, all right? That's what I'm committing to doing. but, you know, it is a summer beach read, so that's my aim, to get it out in time for summer, people to lie on a beach and read it in the summertime. But it feels good to be sort of getting back into the swing of launching English language books. But you know what? I haven't got a title for it. I really struggle. I'm stumbling on this one. So I'm going to have to really put my thinking cap on, or else just do what I normally do and go back through song lyrics and see what song lyric I can lift. Who knows? But yeah, all my titles I keep coming up with, they're terrible. But anyway, London...
I had a brain fart, because when you said you hadn't had a title for it, I thought you meant the one you just uploaded it. I'm like, well, what did you post when you uploaded it? I got a little confused. I was like, that's brave.
Yeah, it's just the book with no name. No, the one I just uploaded is London Ever After, and it took me a while to come up with that one. I think I had a few variations, so I settled on that one. The book I'm working on now, yeah, we don't know, not sure. But anyway, the other thing that's happened, or will have happened by the time this comes out, is it is my 10-year anniversary as an author. Now, I had to look this up. Because Amazon, it kind of lies on the release date. So if you look at an Amazon release date, it's never quite on the day you actually released it, and it's always a little bit earlier than you actually uploaded it. So it said the 24th of February, and I was like, I'm sure it wasn't that early. Anyway, I looked up when the Friday was, and it's February the 28th. So on February the 28th, which is tomorrow as we record this, last Wednesday, as you're listening to this, if you're listening on Monday, it'll be 10 years since I first launched London Calling, and you were swearing at all the buses and taxis with almost my logo on them, right, in London. Well, it's very exciting. I'm not kind of gonna be celebrating it now because I'm just launching London Ever After. So, but what I've decided to do is to celebrate for a year. It's my 10th anniversary year. So I'm planning on doing lots of things throughout the year, sales, giveaways, and special. Maybe special commemorative books, maybe part of the London Romance series. So throughout the year, so it's going to be my 10th anniversary year, but it kicks off, oh well, it's kicked off already as you're listening to this. And to celebrate also, my wife and I went on a 5-day trip to San Sebastian in the northern region in the Basque area of Spain, and that was amazing. I have to say the weather was dreadful. It was like rain the size of pellets, and wind coming in sideways and just sweeping you almost into the sea. But the actual town itself was fantastic. The people were amazing, and it's known for its food. We ate really well there. Had some lovely local Vino Blanco, and their Basque cheesecake. I've tasted cheesecake. I like cheesecake, don't get me wrong. It's not my favourite dessert, but this Basque cheesecake, oh my God, it's like crack. I mean, I want to go back just for that. And I actually put it on my stories on Instagram, and one of my readers got in touch and said that there is a Basque cheesecake shop in London. Halla fucking luya. I'm gonna be going there.
There you go. Well, first, let me back up a bit. Congrats on the 10 years. I did my 10 year last summer, so that's a big feat. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Cheesecake from Spain, hadn't heard that before. Not that I'm saying no. I don't think I've ever really said no to cheesecake like you. It's not my favorite dessert, but it still hits the spot when you're in the mood for cheesecake.
Yeah, this one is the creamiest, most delicious, honestly.
And I'm also glad to hear that you also struggled to figure out your 10-year anniversary because Amazon does change dates
Yeah.
when you upload a book. So it took me a little sleuthing as well because also I started publishing back in 2013, and that's when like if you did an update on your back matter, it updated your new release date. And
Oh.
people were doing that. I wasn't doing it. People were doing that to game the system to get back on the new release chart. So they would just like. Then Amazon put the kibosh on that, which rightfully so. But yeah, it makes it hard to figure things out because you see the date on your on Amazon and it's not correct.
Right. Well, I never knew that hack back then. Clearly, I wasn't scammy. Must be.
I don't think. I mean, it was only a short window where they were like, "Wait a minute, we need to stop this."
Maybe before I
So.
started. Because I remember, right? I remember. Obviously, I remember the day I first had the trauma of pressing the publish button, and I remember it was a Friday night when I was doing it. And I remember sitting in this very, well, not this very chair, but in this very spot doing it. So I knew it was a Friday in February, and I was convinced it was the 28th. And I was right. When I went back to 2014, that is the date. So, but as I said, it's a whole year of celebration. So yeah, it's going to be a momentous one because 10 years, this is the longest job I've ever done.
I don't know what my longest job is. Numbers, jobs, memory,
No, I mean,
all
like,
that.
I did work in magazines for I don't know how long, maybe 7 or 8 years, and then I worked as a music journalist for 7 years. So, I've done chunks, But having this is 10 years, 10 whole years, and it's only it's my 10 year anniversary as an author. It's I think it's like 7-ish as a full-time author, so but still something to celebrate. And obviously we did eat and drink and celebrate in San Sebastian, and I only ate the cheesecake on the last day. If I'd have known about it, I'd have buried my head in one far earlier. But yeah, I thought it was a bit piggish to buy a whole one and bring it on the plane. But now I feel a little short-sighted, but never mind. Anyway, the other thing today is this weekend, the North London Derby. By the time this goes out, we'll know who holds the bragging rights in our house. Spurs beat Arsenal last time, so I'm hoping they'll do the double, but who knows?
Just the men or women.
Women.
What are the odds?
The odds are stacked against us.
Okay. Stacked against Spurs.
Yes,
Okay.
because it's at Arsenal, so it feels like maybe we won at ours. If we could get a draw at theirs, that would be I'd be pretty pleased. But the odds are stacked against us. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, let's crash onto comments. What you got, any?
I don't have any comments, and if there are comments, please understand I've been quite busy taking care of Miranda. So I didn't notice any on the website or the email, but I could be missing comments. I apologize greatly. And also, I do not have any coffee updates. Do you have comments on your side?
No comments on this side, but again, I have been knee-deep in launching and I've been away. So if you sent me one comment, we're pretty rubbish at comments, aren't we? But we really do want comments. So yeah, it's a juxtaposition, isn't it? Please send us comments and then we'll ignore them. We're really going to try not to ignore them, okay? It's our double down promise for next time, right? All right, let's crash on to the topic at hand. We're anniversary tastic on this podcast this week. It's not only my 10-year author anniversary this week, it's also our 5-year anniversary since we started this podcast back in 2019. Time does indeed fly. And so, TB posed the question, what's been the biggest change in the last 5 years? Do we think now? Obviously, we started this podcast pre-pandemic. We were naive and innocent little flowers, never thinking that the world was going to turn upside down. TB would be struck down with a mystery illness that probably was COVID. That actually, the whole world would change. The world has changed since then. And publishing definitely has changed since then. I think we can all say that 2020 was a massive change in how people consumed stuff. So digital products became a lot more, well, bought a lot more. And the pandemic pushed forward the rise of the digital markets all around the world. And so, which is a lot of jargon to say, we were one of the industries that benefited from the pandemic because people needed entertaining. So, I mean, I think beyond that to me is the biggest change that's happened. But I've got lots of little ones that have happened over the last 5 years. But that was the first one that came to my mind. How about you?
I think the big change in my mind is so way back in 2019 in the sapphic fiction circles, there was a big push to get a strong newsletter to drive people to Amazon to buy your books. I mean, everyone always said, start a newsletter and everything like that. And I still think building a newsletter is still vital, as we discussed in our, I think it was our last episode. You and I started our newsletters well before 2019, but I think everyone by that point was already saying, you need a newsletter, you need a newsletter, you need a newsletter. So today, newsletters, building your newsletter is still key, is still vital. But I think a lot of people have started shifting their mindsets, not just to use it to drive people to Amazon, but newsletters are more about connecting with the readers, which it was the case back then. But again, I think it has shifted a little bit because now newsletters are helping authors break away from Amazon a little bit. More and more authors are selling direct. More and more authors are doing Kickstarters or other platforms. Kickstarter's not the only one. It's just the one that came to mind. I think Brandon Sanderson's Year of Sanderson Kickstarter proved to many that having a direct connection with your readers can make or break a career. I'm not saying all of us will be able to raise $41 million. I think there's very few.
Well, I'm leaving.
Okay, you're out then?
I'm out
You're out.
then. It's 41 million or nothing for me.
Okay, so I think very few authors can achieve that level of success, but I think it proves that readers like authors. They have favorites for authors, and a lot of authors are starting to go direct. I think that is the big change right now. So we're using our newsletters to build that connection, not to drive people to Amazon. We still do, obviously, but it's that connection with the readers. For example, Miranda and I launched a Patreon account last summer. I'm releasing the Lizzie installments every month on Patreon. That is going direct. The full book will come out on Amazon in 2025, but the Patreon peeps are getting it early. At the 20 Books to 50K Las Vegas conference, there were so many talks about selling direct. I think we're at the beginning of what that will mean to publishing. There are many different ways to go direct. Like I said, there's Patreon, there's Shopify, there's Payhip. I'm sure I'm missing a ton of others I haven't even heard of yet because things keep popping up on the horizon. I will warn you, this change won't be sudden. At least I don't think it will be. I don't think everyone should stop ignoring Amazon. I don't think everyone should just immediately start going direct, but I think it's going to be one of the pillars for launches. Way back when I started in 2013, it was all about ebooks. Like, authors just got ebooks out. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, you know what? We should try paperbacks too. And then it became about paperbacks. And then people are like, you know what? We should try audio. And I think this is the next pillar that will help our careers. So this year I plan to learn a lot about direct sales. I plan to learn a lot about Shopify, stuff like that. So I think that is the big transformation in publishing that's happening right now.
Yeah, definitely. Direct sales is a big one, but I think but I guess that's another block on the fact that digital sales have really exploded. And when I say digital sales, it's not just for digital products. You can sell a lot of paperbacks and a lot of hardback books via digital platforms, a la like Kickstarter. So I think we saw with recent Kickstarters, like Joanna Penn has done one for her memoir, and a fellow Sapphic author, Ruby Rowe, has did a really successful recent Kickstarter for a lesbian vampire book, which is all fancy dancy and got sparkly letters on the front. But yeah, I mean, it just goes to show that you can do it, even in a small niche, you can do it.
Yes, a lot of authors in small niches are proving that. And with Kickstarter, one of the things authors are doing is they are making special editions, like the Joanna Penn book, The Shadow book. It had a gold foil and it had a ribbon, like a ribbon bookmark, and it had a cover and everything. So I think that's what a lot of people really like is for the Kickstarters. And I know Brandon Sanderson had specially made books for it as well. It's a way to treat the your Uber fans with a limited edition kind of book, so you could get like sprayed edges or leather bound or something like that. So I think that is it all kind of goes in with the digital era where you can purchase these on Kickstarters, and it just gives a treat to the your fans who want to pay extra for that pretty book.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well with the younger generation, as well as the older one as well, but definitely the younger generation turning more towards actual physical products, but they will buy them on a digital platform. All these kind of special edition books or newsletters or social media, all of this is sort of pouring into the importance of you being a person and a relatable person online. So I think that as well, more than ever, in the last 5 years, has changed. And it goes sort of hand in hand with the advent of AI written books and things like that, if you want to stand out. But you've got to be more than a name on a book to your readers. So you've got to have a connection with them via newsletters, via videos, via social media. It all matters. But I'm not one to slag off AI completely, because it's good for helping you write blurbs and things like that, or maybe create some imagery for Facebook ads and things like that. But yes, it will be used for the wrong reasons, i.e. AI written books. And if you want to make your book stand out from those, then it's a good thing to make sure that you are the brand, really. And has that changed in the last 5 years? Because that was always something that I was very aware of from the beginning, that I am the brand and I need to be the face of the brand because no one else is going to do it. But I think it's just been solidified in the last 5 years. And also it's been solidified because in the last 5 years there's more competition. Just like you said, when you were talking about the iHeart Sapphic book database, you passed 6,000 books, right, this week. It's only been going, like, how long has it been going? A year? 18 months?
We launched that in October 2022. And I will say, that's just like a scratch in the surface. There's so many books out there that, so you really do need to double down on being true to yourself and building up your humanness and making that connection with readers.
Yes, it's all about being you. Be the most authentic version of yourself. I sound like a Clinton card or a Hallmark poster, I know, but it's true. People want to see you, and don't try and be something you're not online, because they'll soon see through that. If you meet me in person, I am who I sound on here, I think. But I think it all helps, because another huge change is that there is, like I said, more competition. There are more and more books, there are more and more authors come into the space. When we both started in 2013 2014, Kindle and some of the other platforms weren't even there then. I don't think Draft to Digital was around when we started, was it?
I have no idea.
I think there was Kobo, I think there was Smashwords, I think that there was, I don't know if Apple Books was there, but anyway, the amount of platforms there were fewer. In 5 years ago, they were all there, but still, 5 years ago, there was less authors in the space. There was less authors in the self-publishing and indie space. I can't say the word space. Full stop. So, you've to make yourself stand out, you've got to, well, write good books and be you and make yourself known online, either in video or in newsletters or something, but be the genuine you. But don't be afraid of competition, because, you know, readers are voracious. So I don't think it doesn't mean that you can't make it anymore because there's too many authors in the space. I still don't think that. If you just keep doing what you're doing and don't give up, just keep going, as we always say.
Yes, and honestly, don't think of all your fellow authors as the competition, because a lot of us help each other, and the readers, there are some readers, we're running a reading challenge on IHS, and some readers have already read more than 50 books for the year, so you are not going to be able to write 50 books within the first, not even full 2 months of the year. So we need to... We've always been big on this podcast about networking with fellow authors, and I am still big on that. I think the more we help each other, the better it is for the Sapphic reading community.
Yep. I also think the one thing stood out to me in the last 5 years that has changed the game for indie publishing and publishing as a whole is TikTok, and the TikTok made me buy it craze and all that sort of thing. I think more than any other social media platform, TikTok has changed it for books. I haven't really got on the TikTok craze, the TikTok trend. I'm more an Instagram person these days, and Facebook. Well, I do Facebook advertising, but I think TikTok definitely has changed the game. How long more for? Who knows? These things come and go. But what will never go out of fashion and has been stayed the same since the last 10 years is the connection to your readers.
TikTok is a big change. I did an article recently, though, that TikTok is trending more towards older millennials. It's not so much the younger people who are signing up for TikTok. And I think part of that is because TikTok has started doubling down on advertising. That's what always ruins the platforms, right?
Yeah. It's always free at the start, and then the advertising comes along and it gets a little bit more tricky and more expensive to be there, definitely. That doesn't surprise me, because I would say that all the whatever comes after Gen Z, I don't know what's after Gen Z, but all the younger kids who are actually coming in, they're not going to be signing up for TikTok. They're probably on some platform that we don't even know about yet.
We haven't heard of it yet, but it's going to be huge. Yeah. In 6 minutes.
If you know, if anybody listening knows what the next platform's going to be, let us know. We'll avoid it anyway, because, you know, TikTok.
so hard to keep up. I mean, I don't recommend like chasing every trend. Some authors have been able to capitalize on TikTok. Some of them have done it very well. It's not my particular medium. I don't think it would work well for me. So I could just, I've learned what has worked for me. So I've just used the those tools. But yeah, I mean, if you are good at the short video and everything like that, then yeah, go for it. But if it's not your natural thing, don't drive yourself crazy trying to learn and jump on every train, because you won't have time to write.
No, if you try and jump on every train, you'll just end up travelling all the time and probably end up in, back of beyond, back of bumfuck, as they say in Australia. And then you'll spend half your time trying to get back to where you actually wanted to go. And oh my God, this analogy is really good. That was off the cuff, TB.
There you go.
I'm like a
There you go.
storyteller.
Yes. What did they say in Australia? Where?
Back of bumfuck.
I could bumfuck? We use bumfuck as a phrase, but I can't remember the exact phrase here. I don't remember. But I haven't heard back of bumfuck. I'm assuming that's the back part you really don't want to be in.
Yeah. But, Australians always have a way with words, don't they?
Very descriptive.
Yeah. I've got one more here that I wrote down. Translations. They've definitely become a bigger part of the indie market in the last 5 years. Again, and I think that's all to do with the pandemic and markets waking up to the digital market. And then as the digital market ripples out, people start buying ebooks. I mean, I think in a lot of the European, mainland European countries, they weren't ebook buyers. They're still not huge ebook buyers, but it's changing. So translations have become a bigger thing for the indie market.
It keeps creeping up with ebooks, but also with translations, you also can put them out in paperback. I've sold quite a few German paperbacks. So yeah, that is another pillar. So I mean, the key actually to survival as a full-time author is getting different income funnels. And so if you have ebook, paperback, hardcover sometimes, audiobook, translations, and like a Kickstarter or a Patreon or something, it all adds up.
It does indeed. And the other key thing to surviving as an indie author is to listen to our back catalogue of podcasts for all our wise and wonderful information, right?
Curious what what we were recommending 5 years ago
Yeah, actually.
has changed drastically.
We should have gone back and listened to our earlier podcast, right?
I think we've stayed true to the newsletter. I think we have always stayed true to recommending newsletters and pivoting. So I think we've covered ourselves.
Yeah, I don't, to be honest, as we said, trends come and go, but the key thing is to connect with your readers and do it in a genuine way. And that hasn't changed since we both started 10 years ago, and it certainly hasn't changed since 5 years ago. It's just the ways you do it change, and you might add new ways of doing it, but that solid principle will serve you well.
Yes, make the connection. Grow your newsletter. That is the best way forward,
Yeah.
in my humble opinion.
Anything else to say?
Thanks for spending 5 years with us.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yes, thank you. Especially if you've been here since the beginning. And even if you've just binged all 5 years of all the episodes over the last, well, I know somebody, a few people have done it, haven't they, over the last few months? Like they were probably
Yeah.
listening to two or three episodes of us every day.
It's addictive stuff.
Yeah, very much so. So, let us know what you think. What do you think has changed over the last 5 years? We would love to hear from you, and we will, well, I will endeavour to read your comments. TB probably ignore them, but write to me. Tell me your comments. You can get in touch on the website lesbianswhowrite.com. You can email us lesbianswhowrite@gmail.com. Facebook us, Twitter us @lesyouwrite, and Instagram me @clairefic. And join us next time around when we will be discussing something very important and wise.
I don't like it when you put the pressure on right away where I have to be wise. That's not my brand.
I'm going to make it your brand,
No, I
TB.
have to be true to myself, and I'm very
Yeah.
clueless.
Okay. Join us next week for more clueless advice with me and TB. Until then, take care, keep writing.
I would just like to say clueless, but heartful, full of heart. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Follow us on Twitter at @LesWhoWrite or show us some love on our website by leaving us a comment or buying us a coffee. And sign up to our newsletter while you're there to never miss another episode. Head over to lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more listeners to discover us. Thanks so much and see you next time.